Welcome back to On Tap, Episode 3. We are into a series, getting ready to be a part of the Icebreaker. The Icebreaker is, we said it last time, but it is right around the corner. I mean, days away. So yeah.
We're also into the beer because you said welcome back, and we're just starting. Jeez.
Did I say welcome back?
Yeah, welcome back.
Yeah, to the series.
Season 3, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so welcome back to the
series. If you say so, I'm just going to follow your lead.
Yeah, sure.
What you told me to do.
Yeah.
So, I have very short instructions, and they were supposed to be here, but once again, this is not working.
That's based on the bloopers, we did not have it. But had a good episode 2, had a good episode 1, on to episode 3. So with that, we're looking at today. We spent a lot of time. Paul's here working on the broadcast stuff. Ultra Broadcasting is going to put on, like we've talked about, a great broadcast, probably one of the best broadcasts.
It's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge. It's going to be a huge broadcast. But it's going to be a great
time. We'll build a wall between all the other broadcasting outlets. This will be huge.
So Joel Williamson, Drake, Paul, the other Paul, a different Paul. We're out here today running more internet because we ran internet from the house, fiber up to here, ran internet down to all our PTZs and all our little speed shots. So the broadcast is going to be great. Brian spent today cleaning. We had a truck show last Saturday.
Yeah.
Brian and I have a love-hate relationship when it comes to truck shows.
Yeah.
Nopey Nationals for a long time
was great. I enjoy about every aspect of short track racing and working at a short track. But the custodial aspect of it, I'm not a big fan of it.
Doesn't make any sense.
Good backbreaking job, I guess.
So this is an honest conversation. It could have been after any race at this point, but my mom went into the bathrooms and someone took a crap on the floor. An actual turd on the floor.
Oh, checks out. Hopefully they're not subscribing. But if you just sit there and just bounce your truck off the rev limiter, dun, 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 and think that's cool, then you probably would take a crap on the bathroom floor.
This wasn't the truck crowd. This was the race crowd. After a race. But I'm just saying, like, the things people do at events, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent.
The trash I've picked up would make you question, like, what are they doing?
You're right. And so Brian will tell you, when you're cleaning up trash,
because we all do it, I guess.
Yeah, well, when you're cleaning up trash, I will say that the two things that I have in my memory of trash pickup, whether it's Myrtle or here, is the amount of diapers that people just fold up and just throw on the ground.
Yep.
Like, I get it. Like, it sucks to have your kids, but, like, take it with you and throw it somewhere. Yep. Because Brewer, Morgan's dog, was running with one just the other day. Like, picked it up and started running. And then the other one was my favorite story of all time is at Myrtle. It was during Nopey's. I was out with a picker and a bucket, and I was in turn 2. And there was a $100 bill on the ground. And I picked it up like a thief. Like, I picked it up with the pickers. And when I picked it up, I pretended like I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. And I put it in the bucket.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I went and actually took it out, it was just like a business card.
Oh, like, that sucks. Because there are a few excitements in picking up trash, but that is one. Money.
Yeah.
Even if it's a dollar. Oh, what? I'm rewarded. Exactly. I'm rewarded for being out here.
And you start to, but.
Sometimes, though, I will touch on, we got to talk about it. You're rewarded with a heart attack.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a creature called a possum.
Yeah.
And it just hangs out in the trash can.
And if you find a possum, it is not a pet.
Especially if you come to Florence Motor Speedway, you kill that joker.
It is not a pet.
Because it's the same one. I'm a firm believer. It's the same one.
It's possibly, but we definitely lost one.
It's the offspring of that one.
Yeah, lost one. One stayed in the trash can and perished. But So as we've talked about in all of our episodes so far, is that we're going to speak candidly. There's no rhyme or reason to what we're talking about. And if you catch Brian and I just randomly speaking on things like that, you know, picking up trash. It's the life and style of being a track promoter. Well,
you have to reach out to your whole audience because we used to have a guy at Race with us in Myrtle Beach, I think Tim Lee. He owned Lee Disposal Services, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Hey, Tim Lee, if you're out there, if you're watching, come on back, man. Come back racing.
Like, yep.
You can help us out.
Well, yeah. It's one of Brian and I's favorite stories also is one of our trash picker uppers for a long time.
Was that's Pops. Bounty, right? The picker upper is Bounty, but maybe not the trash picker upper.
Oh, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, yeah.
But Pops. Quicker.
Quilted quicker picker upper. That's right.
So I was thinking about the homeless guy, the Pops, that used to do trash, and he'd go around with a feather in his cap.
I think that was the actual feather that signed the Declaration of Independence.
That was also the feather from the the turkey buzzards that used to sit on the light pole in turn 3 and 4.
Sundays. For some reason, them buzzards had it figured out that you only come to the track on Sundays. We ever had a race that got rained out on Saturday and everything was cool. Come back Sunday, we're firing up. The church is going on. We don't try to fire engines till 12 o'clock. And they were just on them light poles, man. They were ready to pounce.
Yep. Yeah, so where were we?
Well, we're talking about welcome back, even though we already started episode 3.
Episode 3.
Yep.
Trash picking up. But the icebreaker is shaping up to be a huge event, as always. We've said it the last two shows we've had, is that Brian and I are super proud that the race is as big as it has become. Because what are we at? We're at least going to be 35 cars.
Oh, yeah. We're 29 already signed up for sure. Like I said, the verbal commitments were another handful. And, I mean, they just keep stringing in. And, I mean, I think last year, had 33.
Yeah, something like that.
So, yeah, I think 35 is probably a pretty good number.
We with the drivers and the competition that we have set up for the icebreaker, it's going to be a heck of a show. We actually had a chance because everyone's out testing today, getting ready for the icebreaker. So we had a handful of cars here today. And with that, we had one driver that was able to stop by to the OnTap studios and kind of fill us in on his season, what the icebreaker looks for him, his car, and his new team. So, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy this next clip, and we'll be right back. All right, welcome back to On Tap with Steve and Brian. We're fortunate enough, Doug was here testing today. The timing worked out perfectly, so we were able to bring Doug up here to the On Tap studio, which is just the suites.
Sweet seats.
Yep.
It's good.
We had to do a little bit of adjusting because getting us all to fit in camera it was a little bit difficult, but here we are. Doug realized that our tap handles do not produce alcohol. But it's all good. Doug, so welcome to the show, and congratulations on everything this year. I know you had a little bit of an off season, if you will, last year, but, man, full force this year.
Going all out. So I figured I sat on the couch a little bit too much last year, so now we're going with Lee, doing all the cars tour, doing a bunch of NASCAR races in my own equipment. I actually had somebody question on my YouTube channel if I'm going to be running a Toyota or the Ferrari. I was like, well, I get to do both because I still got the red Ferrari, and then Lee's running the Toyota stuff. Right. So I don't know. I'm super excited. I needed today to get like the jitters out of me a little bit because I'd never worked with them before, never ran with them in any way, shape, or form. Just talked to them at the track. So it was nice just being on track in their car.
And I know in November you were with Dustin Storm, and Dustin Storm is good up in Virginia and whatnot, but like being partnered up with Lee Pulliam has to be a whole new horizon for you. You actually have someone you can hop out the car, say something. He's been there, done that. He knows every aspect of that race car.
Yeah, I was actually surprised today how much stuff he asked me, because like he's like, well, you're good, we want to get it closer to like what you run here. And I felt like this would be the perfect race for us to start on because I'm individually good here and they bring good cars here. So I think it's good to start here at a track that we both have a lot of experience at, and then we're going to a bunch of tracks I've never been to before, so it's a good start. But I don't know. Today went so well that I'm almost like baffled by how good we were.
Good. Well, and Brian has a he's kind of conflicted. He loves some Lee Pulliam, but at the same time, he hates some Lee Pulliam.
I do. Yep.
And Brian,
explain. So I think the year was 2017. Could be wrong. Oh, no, it's 2017. So Pulliam ventured down to Myrtle Beach Speedway, and that was a good year for us, but not good enough. Like when you're racing against him, he went on to win a national championship. He went on to win the icebreaker that year, started his trek for the whole year. He won, I think, 9 or 10 races that year. Everything I'm talking about what he did that year, I finished second to it. So it took the icebreaker win away from me. It took the about 9 or 10 wins away, state title, I think top 10 in the nation. So it was like him, I respect him, but 2017, I hated it.
You could definitely make you finish second to him a lot. He was the man. Lee was actually, like, when my whole team folded back in February of last year, actually after the icebreaker, he was the first person I called. And he's like, man, he's like, I'd love to have you. We just don't have the room. Because, you know, what are you supposed to do? Like, the car store is so professional now. Yep. You're not getting into a seat 3 weeks before the season starts. There's no chance. I mean, at least into a good seat where they're going to be giving you everything they have. So this year is a little bit different. We started talking about after Martinsville, and then I ran well here. And we kind of, like, joked back and forth, like, you know, yeah, it would be cool to run together. And then after we got done here, I almost ran a Southern National with him. But I ran so well here in my own equipment, I was like, well, I'll just take my own car. And then we just got on it the second that the season was over, and it just came together. And we've just been looking forward to a day like today for months now, you know what I mean? It's just like we're kind of got the what ifs out the way. Like, you know, I was nervous because I've never been in a car that wasn't a Reynolds car before. And I was just nervous with that, had some jitters, didn't know if they were going to like how I gave feedback. And, you know, I don't know. I'm really appreciative for
what,
them.
What chassis are you in now?
It's a Hedgecock.
Hedgecock. And so, like after you got your first few laps in and you started kind of because I think that's probably going to be the hardest part, right, is communication between – because you've dealt with a certain person or certain people for so long, and you speak a certain way to them. Getting that communication right is probably going to be difficult. But Brian mentioned it earlier that we were up here watching, looking down there. Man, I think personally, obviously I'm a huge Doug Barnes fan, but I think the combination of Doug Barnes and Lee Pulliam together should be...
Yeah, for sure. Pressure is pressure, especially when you're going to an environment that has success, so you feel like, oh, I got to meet their standards. But at the end of the day, it's going to fall back on talent. And I've watched you many laps around this place and watching you on TV and whatnot. I mean, you got the talent. The car control's there. So I have, like... I'm looking forward to how this year's going to go out for you. Yeah,
I appreciate it, man. I feel like I said, pressure's pressure. But I was almost, in a way, glad when I came back here for the 400 because we didn't run that well in Martinsville. We had never even been on track with that car before Martinsville, and then we lost all of Friday practice, and we're just a one-day show. And I wadded it up in heat race. That didn't help either.
Thanks, so thanks, Casey.
Yeah. I've busted him enough about that. But then we came here, and we tested on, like, a Wednesday before the race, the week before the race, and we were really good. And I kept telling Dustin, I'm like, man, like, if I could complain, trust me, I would complain. I was like, I think we're that good. Like, we're really good right now. I'm confident. And I kept getting my mock runs messed up, and I spent a little bit more money in tires than I normally do just because I hadn't raced all year. And so I was confident, but I hadn't really shown anybody my hot lap because I kept getting, you know, messed up by, like, a lap car. What is there, 50 cars here?
Yeah, there's
so
60.
It's hard to get a clean lap.
Right.
And then we went out on the pole, and I feel like everybody's kind of like, whoa, where'd he come from? But the whole time I was, like, expecting to get – the second I pulled my belt stud, I was expecting to get the pole.
Right.
And then having a good run here, having a good run at the Thanksgiving Classic, I feel like kind of put me back on the map a little bit. So then signing with a big team, the team that just won the championship, I feel like people kind of remember me a little bit.
Yep.
So I appreciate that. I would hate to sign for them and then – nobody expects anything from me. You know what I mean? Expectations are good.
No, we're like I said, we're looking forward to it. Again, I'm a huge Doug Barnes fan. For those that don't know Doug well enough, great human being, great driver.
Just so we're clear, you are a subscriber of his channel, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I am. I'm sure I don't get on there.
You don't just watch it. You actually hit the button. You subscribe.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure we're good.
Yeah, you like it too?
I got to do the click. I got to get that
likes.
Cool click thing. But Owen does all. He handles all my YouTube liking and disliking.
Awesome.
So, but no, it's going to be a great season. And you know, starting off at the Icebreaker again, getting comfortable. I think that's perfect for you, right? Like, you ran here for the season when we were chasing the national championship. You've had success. You've been competitive. You've been fast here every time. So getting your feet wet and then getting into what is the first race, Carstar? What's the first race again?
I think it's Jacksonville.
March
1st, I think.
Have you raced there at all?
I've never been there before. Yeah, but I mean, it sounds like a track I'd be good at, like the abrasive surface and.
Yep.
I don't know.
I think it's got very similar characteristics, and that's one thing. Like here, I think you're going to shine. So the racecraft is one thing. Racecraft at Florence and these low group tracks is a whole different animal.
Oh, it's
like this tire saving.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of guys go out there and like, oh, we're Superman. Talk to me about 50 laps.
I was exactly going to say that. Yeah, see you in 50 laps. Yeah. That's what I like about it, is that it makes you put together a complete race. Like, because before I came here, I was racing at Dominion, so I got the best of both worlds. I got a lot of laps here, and I got a lot of laps at Dominion, and they couldn't be farther apart in a comparison, you know what I mean? High grip, high speed, low grip, low speed.
Yep.
And I don't know. I just like putting together a whole race. I think it's – I don't like just going out there and hauling every single lap. I feel like it's –
Yeah, you see, you're a thinker. So, like, you and Brian are very similar where, like, myself, I just go out and – Yeah, I just go. It's just like – I have no, like – like, I'm going to make the same lap every single time. Like, hence why I haven't made Martinsville in 4 years. But anyways, I just keep doing where you guys are processing every single moment, every single lap, every single thing. 125 laps here at Florence Motor Speedway for the Icebreaker. In your head, sitting here today, a week and a half, or a little under a week and a half away, in your head, strategy-wise, go, pace, start off, get on the pole, worry about qualifying, because we put it out there, and everyone knows this year, a little bit different than the previous seasons, where motor combinations really aren't a thing now, because we put all the weight packages, so the 604 doesn't have an advantage like it had technically.
Wish we would have did that back in November. Well, won the South Carolina 400, but
here's the the little violin, but or fiddle, maybe a fiddle. I like Charlie Daniels, so we'll go fiddle. Yeah, but what's your plan? What are you thinking in your head right now? If you want to qualify pole, and then you want to lead every lap, obviously. But are you going to try to go like hard and lap everybody, or what you thinking?
Well, I would definitely put together a race like I normally do. I normally have about like a time that I like to run. I base it off the weather, and I'll, you know, run some practice laps like that. It's never really going all out. The one year that I won the Icebreaker, I led pretty much the whole thing, but that was literally because they gifted me the lap time that I wanted to run. I don't know why everybody did that. If I backed up my time, the whole field backed up their time. Nobody tried to pass me, anything like that. So then I was riding around with the best track position, saving all my tires, and then when it was time to go, it's like I really didn't even have to go that much faster because I was already at my pace.
Right. Yep. You set your pace, and you're like, thank you guys for letting me continue to do this.
Yeah, I was confused because in the 400 this past year, like I ran my pace, and it put me fifth from the pole, and I was okay with that because I was still running my pace. And then you saw later in the race when I kept running that same exact pace, everybody started falling off, and then I came up through the field. So I just would like to qualify up front. I'll tell you what, one of my favorite awards I got ever is that Bud Pole Award. That thing is so cool. I've been hung up in my office. But I'd like to qualify up front. I feel like that's important. I don't really think that you're going to find a lot of success anymore running around in the back like we did a couple years ago. Right. I think you've got to be up front now.
Yeah,
if you
track position is pivotal, no doubt.
Well, and I think, too, so we'll get to, every single race that we seem to have, we're talking tires. Right, like so everyone has a question of, you know, I got a bad set of tires, I did this, I did that. And for Brian and I, that's outside of our wheelhouse, right? Like we can't do anything about what tires we get. We do the best we can to pair them up and put them together. And, man, sometimes it just hits you wrong and you catch a bad break.
Yeah, to that point, like he actually did us wonders. I don't know if you realized it or not. So everyone qualified on the same tires in November. And, of course, we did the best we possibly could because we had a lot of assortment of different batches, different serial codes, the whole nine yards. But a lot of the guys, one in particular, that's went vocal about it, said it didn't have a good second half because they just bolted on the same set of tires. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting back because, you know, of course, we do everything we can. And I know for a fact that everyone that qualified in on the top 20, their halfway tires were the same. So you maintain that track position and finish good, too. I'm like, okay. So that wasn't a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going this event, just so we're speaking honestly, we're rolling tires. Like we didn't match them up because we tried to match them up and certain people got mad and certain people didn't. So in our world, we're going to do the best we can. We rolled them in and we're going to roll them out. So it's kind of a best of what you get. But you build your car. Today you had the same thing. You had a mock set today.
Yeah.
Mocks like from your practice stuff to your mock run. How was that?
We actually didn't go as fast as I thought we would when we did our mock run, but it was also like the sun was beating down. It was actually pretty warm today at one point.
Yep.
And then we just swapped the left front with the left rear, and then we went 2/10 faster than our mock run. So I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I said. A lot of that, like people don't understand. I try to tell it in the broadcast is that every little thing that a racer deals with, whether it's sun, a certain tire, a certain size, because you're going to be on the 85 3/4. They measure up a little bit different. They're aired up. Just certain things. You move one to the right, one to the left.
Man, you just got to generate heat. These F45s are very sensitive, if you will. So you got to generate heat. So just watching the mock run today between you and Sam and even Zach there, I know we got to do a scuff lap next week. Mm-hmm. Like there's a certain temperature threshold that you know if it's above this point, we could probably just come to green. But if it's below it, we got to do a scuff lap.
A scuff or like a dead?
Scuff, dead lap. Yeah. Okay, so you're coming to nothing, then you're coming to green.
I think that's how it should be because this track doesn't really have that much grip. I feel like it was perfect in November. I feel like everybody's fast lap was 4, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah, so when you see these guys go into lap 1 and whoop, straight to the top.
I'm not
straight
gonna,
to the top.
Yeah, I think every one of you guys in the third groove. Yeah.
So we'll ask a question for the icebreaker, and you might be the tiebreaker. Is what are your thoughts on the restart zone or restart line or vice versa? So would you prefer, if you're the leader, you're running up front, would you rather see us do a restart zone or a restart line?
As a leader, zone, because you can play more games. But for the field's sake, I think a line is perfect because there's no games, there's no speeding up and slowing down.
Right.
I mean, I guess you could do that coming to the line, but then it would be fairly obvious up in the tower that they did that versus – the zone. I don't know. I feel like people get antsy the deeper you get into the zone, and then you wind up with more wrecked race cars. So I think everywhere, honestly, should just be a line.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And there's no games Winner. To be played. You just go, and that's how I think that's how it should be.
We've had so he agrees with the line, but we've had, opinions on the zone also.
Yeah, I hate it. Like when you guys got a guy like you have done before an icebreaker here, where you set your pace and your pace just works out for you. Everyone just followed suit, and you have a big gap at the end. And then you have a caution with 5 laps to go, and then you get fooled by somebody getting through the gears quicker because you go together the line. You've dominated that race. You should dictate that restart. But
it is what it is as far as, like, your argument for the zone.
My only argument for the zone would be that the leader should dictate the restart.
That's what I'm saying. As a leader, I'd prefer the zone.
Yes.
But I think it's better for the entire field for it to be a line.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
So
that leader's just like, 35th spun out. What's he doing about it?
See, I think we should do it like, just do whatever, wherever I am. Yeah. So if I'm fifth, do the line. If I'm leading, you
Well, you know, somebody likes you. He's a big fan. Yeah. You said that, too.
That should go well in the driver's meeting. All right, ladies and gentlemen, just want to let everybody know.
Pay attention to the 88.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah, whatever the 88's, 88's on the pole, we're going line if it's, or zone. If it's anything else, we're going line. But
okay with this.
Yeah, Brian and I have, like, Brian and I, we speak the same language all the time. But also, he didn't speak to me for a while because I threw him to the back when he didn't hit somebody, but he did hit somebody.
That's rough.
Yeah. It also was Justin Milliken.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Now, Milliken, I love you, but you know what you did that day.
Yeah. You put me to the back and we were drinking beers later that night. What was that? Oh, that was when I wrecked Laney.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I wrecked Laney.
And now you're teammates.
Ooh, I don't know if you can say that yet.
No.
That hasn't been a...
All right, well...
Cut it out.
We'll have to see if that comes out yet. Yeah. I'm not sure.
We're going off for entry forms. So we see the entries.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I was trying to figure out a way if I could cut it.
Okay.
Yeah. But
I literally told her the other day, I said, I haven't told anybody. I haven't. So I was like, but I guess you would have seen it on the entry form.
Yeah, the sign up. Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be live by the time this goes out.
So,
but now we're spoiling stuff. I've seen a car number too with us. Whoa, what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's different.
Yeah, leave that one up. But then the car numbers, that surprised me too.
That was actually how I got your entry, and it had Lee Pulliam performance because we text quite a bit, and I feel like we're friends. I didn't get a heads up.
Yep.
I just got the
entry.
So
it's funny. I wasn't
like,
even.
I was like, all right, I guess
I wasn't
we're doing
even
this.
Under contract, and I signed us up. I was like, it's gonna happen. So I was either coming here in the Ferrari or with Pulliam.
I guess we're doing this because I didn't actually, to be honest, I didn't. I actually didn't even see that until he said, because I saw it and I was like, all right, cool, Doug's in. And then Brian said, he goes, oh, look at that, Lee Pulliam. And I was like, oh, shit, it is Lee Pulliam.
Then like 2 hours later, Steve said, meet me at the bar. Like he was whimpering in his voice. Said, dude, Doug would have told you. Just get over it, man.
I guess we're not friends anymore.
Well, we had talked about it a little bit at the 400. After the race, we were talking about it a little bit. Yep. I'm like, man, I might go this direction or I'm going to do it myself. But the biggest factor, because I'm still running with Dustin Storm, like, we're still going to run a fair amount of races, just like NASCAR races. So, but the biggest thing was that Lee's been to tracks that I haven't been to, and he can help me out there.
Sure.
For some of these tracks I haven't been to, Dustin also hasn't been to. So then it's like you're at square one, and it's like a, you know, we don't want to clash with that.
Well, and I know Dustin's running at the icebreaker as well.
He keeps telling me he's going to bring my car.
I knew it was some personal vendetta.
No,
Yeah, Brian said that. As soon as he signed up, he's like, oh, he's definitely showing up to prove that he can go quicker.
Yeah.
But anyways, I know it's probably gone a little longer than we were expecting. I think it's cool that you were here and it's worked out well.
Yeah.
We're proud of you. We're excited for the future of Doug Barnes and Lee Pulliam Performance.
I'm excited.
I think end of day is going to be a huge deal for everybody. So congratulations.
Thank you.
We'll go on to the next segment. Looking forward to.
But I will say, so moving forward to next week and a half from now. Now we're having fun. Now we will stay professional. So don't say, "Hey guys, don't worry, I'm leading. I know what they're going to do. I know what the restart's going
to
be like."
Yeah. Yep. But we had a chance to step back and look at what Doug Barnes has got going on for the 2025 season, and now we're going to go to our next segment. So thank you for being here and enjoying a little bit of our On Tap. All right, thank you, Doug, and welcome back to On Tap. We had a chance to step back and talk to Doug Barnes Jr. A season full of excitement, full of opportunity with Lee Pulliam Performance. He's had good success here. We talked about it a little bit, how excited he is, and took that year off. And we said in the conversation that you watched him today and said, "Man, this could be a combination to look forward to watching."
Yeah, man, he talked about the pressure that's on his shoulders now, like, of course, filling a role from Brendan Queen. I don't think there's any pressure. People know his name. Like, Doug had a chance to win the national championship, 2 years ago? And he was, going these races, so he was going, obviously bouncing forth from some certain tracks. So he doesn't have the seat time at all these tracks that the car store goes to, but his name is synonymous with late model racing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to have a good year. I just know it in my heart.
Yep. Yep. So I was glad to talk to him. And I want to now address the elephant in the room, which would be your sticker is off of the your mug.
You went there.
I did not want to use
my
mug.
Now here, the segment's going to take a whole new turn. Yep. So, yeah, that's off.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't. Pleased with the way the sticker turned out. It was a good sticker.
Yeah.
But we overachieved. So I can make that sticker better. Like, the team can get better. There is a particular team that's been doing this a lot of years back to back that for some reason just couldn't pull it off once again. It's like the 90s again.
So
I feel minus the Super Bowl, right?
Well, it's not even the 90s.
You threw the first punches.
It's not even the 90s anymore. It's just the years. Like, it seems like every time this would be a perfect time for me to do a blooper. Where I show last week's reel on how positive we were about the chance of us going head to head in the Super Bowl and to where it landed afterwards. Because I believe we said we would end our lives. I believe we said we wouldn't have a podcast anymore.
Well, I talked about it.
And then here we are, exactly how we hoped it didn't play out.
The wife backed me off the ledge, so it was good.
Anyways, so football, whatever. I haven't watched football. I haven't watched anything sports related.
Don't care
since then. It doesn't mean anything to me. Yeah. And I will not be watching. I will not be watching the Super Bowl. I'll be in Florida with Owen. He's racing the Legend car down there. I had envisioned myself being in a certain place just to see it. But now screw it.
We were so excited this time a week ago. We even tossed around the idea if the icebreaker got rained out on Saturday. We ain't running Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So whole new date. New time.
Now we're racing Friday.
Yeah,
we're just gonna move it up.
Can't come soon enough.
Yeah, but So, anyways, we had a chance to talk to Doug. We were excited last week. We were able to put together our first live interviews on Wirecast, and now this week we had our first actual live interview on property. We were able to have him sit down here at the table in the studio. But now, one of our major sponsors over the last probably 2 years. It's so hard to get sponsors that are committed and have the same ideas, and we talked about it, ideas that we have. But the one we're about to speak to, he'll call and he'll try to figure out a way to, how can we get car count? How can we get the charger class? How do we get the trucks up? He lives and breathes the same stuff we do.
Yep.
And we're excited to bring in and thank Wells Hanna and Williamsburg Feed and Tack. Here to the show on Tap. So enjoy our interview with Wells, and we'll be right back. Right, we're back speaking with, coming out of that last break, one of our sponsors that has been a huge supporter of ours. We talked about it earlier, that to find partners that have the same passion for the sport that we do is hard to find. And we found one, thankfully, in Williamsburg Feed and Tack and Wells Hanna. And Wells, welcome to the show On Tap. And thank you again for everything you've done for us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so so kind of give everybody a little bit of a background. You raced for quite some time, mini stocks, Myrtle Beach here. Let's not dive into the bad side of it. I've heard some stories that I wouldn't have wanted to race against you.
Same.
But kind of fill everybody in on how you got to be a part of racing.
You know, it's a long family history. My my cousins are Donnie and Dana Heidrich. I think Dana started racing over there the first year they paved Florence Motor Speedway. So I've been a part of it ever since I was a young boy, and you know, just couldn't wait till it was my turn. And I started out when I was 15 over there, and of course that was a no-no. So they invited me not to come back until my birthday. And I had a little 3-year stretch there where I raced, and I think my my money ran out about as quick as my talent did, so I had to put that on hold. And that's about all I got as far as my racing career goes, but I sure helped Donnie and Dana a bunch.
Yep. And I think the same thing goes for really anyone, whether you have the talent, you don't have the talent,
yep.
You put the passion in every time.
And unfortunately, the financial aspect of it is more relevant today than any time
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, yeah. But back in the day, you used to be able to Wells, I'm sure you kind of speak to this, is back then you used to be able to go get a car in a junkyard and put it together and go race. Now it's like even a mini stock anymore is tough to support financially.
Yeah, I hear how much these late model stock car drivers, how much they spend in the body. Yep. We didn't have that much in our whole car.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, and the but I think you know, kind of hearing what Wells is saying and thinking back to how I got started, it all starts from your parents. It starts from you know, kind of just once you become associated with racing, it's hard to get out.
And it's in your blood.
Yeah,
you're born with it, and you can't lose it.
Yep, and everybody talks about like you know, I'm gonna take a year off and I'm gonna do this. Like Doug's a perfect example. You know, when him and I talked at one point, he's like, you know, it's not that I don't have the money. I just don't want to spend the money. And, you know, I just want to take a year off. I'm going to be done. And then all of a sudden, look at him now. He's going full-time car store racing. He's doing some stuff. So kind of with that, we'll go ahead and put it out there. And this is an early announcement. But we're excited you know, thankful for what you've done and Williamsburg Feed and Tack has done. To announce to everybody that this year's South Carolina 400 is going to be presented by Williamsburg Feed and Tack. So our primary sponsor for the upcoming big race, our 2025 South Carolina 400, is going to be Williamsburg Feed and Tack, South Carolina 400. And with that, I'd ask Wells if you would, you know, and Brian knows this and I know this about the logo, but just kind of give everybody a quick background of what Williamsburg Feed and Tack is and, you know, what you guys provide and where they can get it.
Well, before I touch on that, I got mixed emotions about South Carolina 400 because I cannot wait for it to get here, but that means racing season's over. So, I don't want the end to get here, but, man, I can't wait. It was a blast last year. We had a good time. But, you know, as far as my store goes, you know, I quit racing in 96, and that's when my dad, he fell on hard times, and he started Williamsburg Feed and Tack, I believe, in August of 97. So that's how long it's been around, and it grew, and it grew, and I think I quit what I was doing when I was 25 years old and started helping him because it was just he and my mom, and it kind of outgrew them, if you will, and they needed help and really couldn't afford to, you know, go pay someone outside the family. So I quit what I was doing. And what is it, 25 years later, 26 years later, I'm still there. He's since passed on, and he passed away in 2019, and he was a huge supporter of short track racing. He owned part of the cars that Dana Heidrick drove. He loved her to death. He tried his best to see she made it to the top, but, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, she was a very good driver, but, you know, late model stock was about as far as she could get. And, you know, it's the sponsorship of the racing that I'm doing. What's this, third year now? It's kind of a part of it. I love racing. I love being a part of it. But it's a lot of it is a tribute to my dad because he loved it. He absolutely loved it.
That's cool. Yeah, no, we're excited to have you a part of it. And we know you love it. We want to make sure that everyone understands that. And this is actually a question because we didn't talk about this beforehand. Has your website and your online presence taken off yet or not yet?
No, we're still working out what I guess platform we want to use, because I haven't long put in a new point of sale system, and Lord, we still haven't learned yet.
Yep. So at some point. Everybody watching, everybody at the 400, everybody, you know, on the Icebreaker, can go purchase products from Williamsburg Feed and Tack.
You made a few stops yourself, and the product there is amazing.
Oh, it's amazing. I walked out of there with, what did I walk out of there with that day? Oh, Hey Dudes.
Hey Dudes, yeah.
No, I walked out of there with Hey Dudes that day. So between, it's not just Feed and Tack, it's, you know, Hey Dudes, it's boots, it's apparel, sunglasses, I mean, you name it, he's got it. And you guys have done such a good job, and it's in a beautiful place, you know, not easily accessible for anyone that's watching on the broadcast. You know, I don't think California guys are going to go to King Street, South Carolina, and be able to pick it up. But at some point, once we get it on the internet and we can sell to the world, the things you guys have and the things you've done to that store are amazing. So we're excited to be a partner of yours. We can't thank you enough for everything you've done to just want to be here, you know, but we're excited to, we haven't announced, or Brian hasn't even really designed it yet, but the logo, I'm sure will be great, and it'll have, it'll represent your dad, it'll represent your product, and we just thank you for being a part of Florence Motor Speedway, and definitely for being the primary sponsor for this year's South Carolina 400.
Yeah, well, I'll thank you. I thank you for having me.
Well, we look forward to it. Again, Wells Hanna with Williamsburg Feed and Tack, and we will be right back with the final half of this show. And we've tried to make it short, as we always do, but we figured out a way between talking about trash.
You just said final half. That means so everything we did prior, we got a whole another segment of that?
No, Jesus, I don't think Christ. We have time for that.
I ain't got time for that.
Yeah, no. But we'll be right back, and we appreciate you joining us on tap. All right. Thank you, Wells Hanna, for being a part of the South Carolina 400. We had a great time talking to him. And, man, what an episode three. I can only imagine as this goes along. Episode one started off as a series. Episode two became a podcast.
Episode three is a series.
Episode three has become a series. So to see what I'm looking forward to when we get to, like, episode 100 and look back, I'm going to be a lot older.
I won't be here.
I've been old since we started this podcast. But we've had a good time. We talked to Doug Barnes. We talked to Wells Hanna. Talked about the Icebreaker because, again, it's only a week away. We got one more episode between now and then. Probably a little bit earlier as far as in the week because we kind of get busy there come Friday, Saturday.
Yep.
But, you know, the 10th annual Icebreaker is upon us, and we are sitting on 29 pre-registered for sure with about five or six verbal commitments that we know about. So we're looking at 35, 36 cars in the 10th annual Icebreaker. So we're excited. A lot of cool stuff happening. Tune in to the broadcast come next Saturday. Ultra Broadcasting is going to be a big deal. We've worked really hard to put together the best stuff. We worked all day today running internet lines, working on Paul Burnham has put together his system. We're going to have a great ticker. We're going to have great lower thirds, all the stuff that you didn't even know about. We've got a drone company that's most likely coming out that's going to do the speed shots. Just a lot of cool stuff that we're trying to put together and give you guys the best product we can offer. So when you're watching the Icebreaker, when you get done and you lay your head down at night, you know you had a good time watching, because we've talked about it. We just got done talking a little bit with Wells about how we're all race fans.
Yep.
We love the sport. We love every bit of it. Brian and I love being in the seat more than we do anything, but it just doesn't work out. So we get our chance to show you guys the show and make sure that you get to see it in the eyes of the person that's here. We'd rather you be on property.
Yeah,
but
sure.
If you're not, you're here. So, Brian, kind of send us out here. Last few words.
Well, my last few words are Paul Burnham is amazing.
Burnham, not
Burnham. I didn't emphasize the last word. He's amazing. He's been here busting his, can I say ass? I can say
I think
ass,
so. Right?
I mean, I know you blew me out a couple weeks ago, but internet, I can say ass. He's been busting his ass. He does a phenomenal job. Everything's going to be very professionally done. You told me to stay away from it, so I will stay away from it.
Yep.
On the infield side of it, I think it's going to be good. We got a lot of guys practicing, like Steve said, 29 cars. I think we'll be at 35. Last year we were at 33. It's going to be a really good race.
Yep.
This place always puts on good races, yep, man. I mean, everybody talked about Myrtle Beach when it closed down. Oh, you tire degradation, tire savings, the 3 and 4 wide. Yeah, but that was a 0.538 mile oval.
Yeah.
And we still have 3 and 4 wide here at a 4/10 mile. Yep. So it's always good.
Which, for those that never got a chance to see it, Brian, when it came to the Harry Gantt saying high, wide, and handsome, your outside skills were pretty impressive.
Thank you.
I've said you actually have never driven here, right?
Well, I did for a crack heel in the truck one time.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. They asked me to cut some
lines, but you just testing.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't actually run the outside and, like, pass somebody.
No, I did not try the outside that day.
But no. Brian would be good here. So,
that's for another day.
Yeah.
Another time.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, anyways, we're running out of time.
I know where you're going.
I'm not going to say it. But, been a great show. We've had a good time. We're excited to be a part of Florence Motor Speedway and On Tap and Ultra Broadcasting. There's a lot of cool stuff. And I guess kind of going out in my last statement to everyone watching, if you got this far into the episode, and I might even break this up, is just trust in the process. Understand that anything we're doing, whether it's tire distribution, it's broadcast, it's not going NASCAR sanctioned, it's whatever it is we're doing.
Presentation, no trash.
Yeah.
That's one thing, too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. we're doing all the things to put banners up. We want you to show up, and we're going to put on the best show, whether you're here or abroad, that we can possibly give you. And we just ask that, you know, when we see the social media stuff, we talked about it before, is that we just ask that everyone gives us a chance. You know, just let us prove that the Ultra Broadcasting has validity. It's got a chance to be something that could be good for us. Because as a racetrack, that's what we have to care about. We want to make sure that the racers are taken care of. And for that to happen, it has to come from the racetrack being successful.
Yeah.
So on behalf of myself and Brian, thank you for tuning in. And we look forward to seeing you on episode 4 here on Tap.